Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
and
it.
You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed.
Mm.
Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
A happy Wednesday. Welcome into Send It In, presented by BetMGM here on the BetQL Network. Another great show for you guys today. Over the next 30 minutes, we're talking Ole Miss Rebels today, our final SEC team that we have to preview. Moving on to the Big 12 tomorrow. Michael Katz standing by, get his thoughts on the Rebels. Also continuing our preview of the NFC North. Today we look at the Chicago Bears. Big golf tournament starting out in Memphis tomorrow. We will break down the FedEx St. Jude with a little Shark Tank coming up. Lucy Bird's going to join us later on in the show for Model Making Money. And then we wrap everything up with our favorite plays for today. As always, any questions, comments, best bets, thoughts that you guys have for us, especially on Ole Miss, on the Chicago Bears, let us know. You can go to twitch.tv/BetQL or YouTube/Odyssey Sports. And if you miss any part of the show over the next 30 minutes, we got you covered with the Send It In podcast, available wherever you get your podcast. Let's get this show rolling. Glasses in session. We go to the Glasser guest line. Michael Katz joins us. Give him a follow on X at Michael L. Katz. Ole Miss covers Ole Miss athletics for the Northeast Mississippi Daily Journal. Michael, great having you on the show, man. And we were talking a little bit before the show started. A lot of expectations in Oxford this year, coming off their first 11-win season. They won the Peach Bowl over Penn State. Jackson Dart's back. A lot of the offense, defense, got a lot of guys in the transfer portal. Just being there, covering the team, what's the expectations like around the Rebels this year?
I mean, I don't think anybody on the team is going to say it, that it's playoff or bust, but I think a lot of people around this program, around town and fans, or if it's not going to happen now with the expanded 12-team playoff, like, when is it going to happen? I mean, this is the perfect storm of things. It's sort of all led to this. You know, again, you get your star quarterback back, you get your wide receiver and your tight end back, you bring in one of the best wide receivers in the SEC in Juice Wells from South Carolina. You bring in the top-ranked transfer portal class in the country, very defensive-heavy, especially on the defensive line. You've got a coach who's really, Lane Kiffin's really found his groove in Oxford. It's the longest he's ever been anywhere, and he's really sort of made this his home. And so, I mean, when you look at that, and then all the factors around it, obviously the 12-team playoff, but, you know, Nick Saban's gone finally. And, you know, by SEC standards, Ole Miss's schedule seems to be fairly reasonable. It's not easy, but it's, you know, last year's schedule, if you looked at it, was a lot, you know, more difficult on paper. So I think there's just a lot of factors that, you know, this kind of has to be the year. You know, you don't get third-year starting quarterbacks back that often. You don't get elite, you know, first-round talents in the transfer portal on defense all that often. When you do, I think you kind of have to make the most of it. So, yeah, I mean, the expectations are huge here. I think that, you know, they were 11-2 last year. I think that, you know, 10-2 probably gets them in the playoff this year. But, you know, missing the playoff, I think would be pretty devastating given everything that has kind of built up to this.
Michael, I think Ole Miss right now, I think there are a couple teams that maybe the expanded college football playoff benefited when it went to 12 teams. I think a team like Penn State, I think a team like Ole Miss probably benefits them because, as you know, since Kiffin's been there, he's done a really good job of beating the teams that he's supposed to beat, but he's had a tough time winning those games where he's maybe a touchdown underdog or games that he's really not supposed to win. And like you said, Saban's retired. He was never able to beat him. He hasn't played Georgia too much, but he hasn't beaten Kirby Smart yet. He gets another crack at it this year. So what's it going to take for Ole Miss to kind of get over that hump? What's it going to take for them to win those games that maybe when you look at it on paper, the game like when they play Georgia at home this year, what's going to be the difference for them maybe to win that game this year?
And in Georgia, it's interesting that that's the team that comes up a lot. Obviously, they've been kind of the gold standard for college football the last few years. Ole Miss went in their last years, I think they were in the top 10, and they lost 52-17. I mean, they just got absolutely smoked in that game. And Lane Kiffin was asked, like, what's the difference between, you know, being a good team and a great team? Like, what do you have to do to get to this next level? And it was get more talented, and they had to get bigger and better on the lines. And that was, if you look at their transfer portal stuff, yeah, I mean, they've got, you know, they got Juice Wells and stuff, but it was really beefing up the trenches and making it so, listen, football's not won with the eyeball test, but last year they weren't winning the eyeball test when the Georgia came on the field and Ole Miss came on the field, not up front. Now, it's a lot closer, and, you know, again, I haven't seen Georgia, this year yet or anything like that, but Ole Miss finally looks like they have the pieces to really dominate a game up front. And, you know, the skill positions have never really been the problem at Ole Miss in quarterback play, running backs. They've always produced, but it's always come down to, in a big game, at the end of a game, can your guys outlast their guys? And Ole Miss just hasn't had the depth to do that. This seems like the first year they really do. And Lane Kiffin has said, you know, we look like a real team. It doesn't mean we're going to be any good, but we look like it. And I think that's really, you know, listen, you can say all the, you know, Saban's gone, so maybe that changes things, or, you know, they get Georgia at home this year, all that sort of stuff. But, you know, I don't think it was so much a scheme or play calling, or I think it was just sometimes it's just you got to have better dudes. And I think for the first time, it seems like they have the dudes up front to compete with those higher level teams.
Totally makes sense. You look at the offense, Jackson Dart is back. His top three pass catchers are back. The O-line's got three starters back. They got some people in the transfer portal as well. They do lose a key piece, though, Michael, in Quinshon Judkins, who transfers to Ohio State. Any concern with Ole Miss this year in that running back room, or do you think that they're going to be fine there?
I think there probably would have been if Lane hadn't shown that he can produce running games in different ways previously, because his first couple years at Ole Miss, it was sort of a three-headed monster where they had three different guys. I think the 2021 season when they went to the Sugar Bowl with Matt Corral, they had four runners with 500 yards or more. And then obviously Quinshon came, and it sort of became, it was Quinshon's show, and he was 1,500 yards. You know, they'd have Zach Evans, and he ran for another 900 that first year. So it always have been a few guys, you know, sharing the load. It's just a matter of how much they want to run it. But Lane has always found ways to produce in the running game. And I know he gets a lot of credit for the passing game and what he does with quarterbacks. And, I mean, the track record speaks for itself. He's done a great job with quarterbacks. But he knows how to produce running games in different ways depending on what he has. And, you know, I think that, you know, you bring back a guy, Ulysses Bentley, who ran for, you know, over 500 yards last year. You bring in a guy who ran for 1,000 yards at Miami, Ohio, and you bring back a guy, Henry Parrish Jr., who previously played at Ole Miss, played his last 2 years at Miami. You know, he's got over 2,000 yards in his career. So, you know, do you have that one workhorse guy who's probably going to run for 1,500, 1,600 yards? Probably not. But I think they're gonna get that production because they have a bunch of different guys that can do it, and you got a quarterback who can do it too.
You mentioned the schedule, Michael, towards the top, and again, it's not the hardest I've seen in the SEC this year, but any SEC schedule is going to be difficult just because of how deep the league is. They do have that home game against Georgia. They also get the Sooners at home this year, and then some tricky road games at LSU, at Florida. They have to travel on the road, play South Carolina as well. Outside of that Georgia game, when you look at Ole Miss's schedule this year, what was the game that popped out to you that you thought would be another tough game to win outside of the Georgia one?
I mean, I think I think Oklahoma. And again, I don't know if we know a ton about Oklahoma yet. You know, I think it's almost probably thankful it's not Texas, because I think we know a little bit more about Texas right now in terms of what they are going to be. Again, they were in the playoff last year. But that LSU game, man, that's one. That's just such a hard place to play historically. It's going to be a night game. I believe it's like the 100th anniversary of Tiger Stadium that night, too. So like, that place is going to be absolutely insane. And the last time Ole Miss was there, they led by like 2 touchdowns in that game and ended up losing by like 20 points because everything just – it just turned so fast. And so that game, I think, again, when you're looking at the opportunities to make an impression on – yeah, I know it's a 12-team playoff now, but you still got to impress the committee. You know, assuming you drop a game or two in there, you can't drop the wrong ones, and you have to win the right ones. And so I think that, you know, I don't know how that Georgia game's going to go. You know, that's I think Georgia's really, really good. You know, if they keep it close, I think they're in a good spot. Could they win that game? Absolutely. But I just don't think I can make that determination quite yet. But that LSU game, if you can win that game on the road, I think you give yourself a little bit of leeway. I think that's a really, really big one.
All right, Michael, before I let you go, what's your prediction for the season? What do you see Ole Miss's record being this season? And then if everything goes right, what do you think is the ceiling for this team? Do you think this team is good enough to win it all if everything breaks their way?
Yeah, I've had this team around 10-2, which feels pretty fair because, you know, assume they lose one of the Georgia, Oklahoma, or LSU games and maybe some, one of the other ones in there. But I think this team is good enough to take care of the business against the teams they're supposed to beat. And I think that's a really big part of it, like you brought up. I think this is a playoff team, and you know, if everything goes perfect, I think this is a team that they should be able to make it into that second round of, you know, when you get to like the Rose Bowl and the, you know, the big bowl games. They should make it out of that you know, that home field round if everything goes right. I mean, this is a really talented team. They're battle tested. You know, again, they won 11 games last year and probably got better. They've got a coach who, again, has hit his groove. I think he understands what he's doing here and what has to be done here, how to win here. And you've got a team of a bunch of guys who literally came back because they wanted their shot at the playoff. You know, it's really hard to get in with the four teams. It was going to always be really hard for Ole Miss to get in a four-team playoff. But with 12, when you bring back all the guys they brought back, you've got a shot. And I think everybody on the team realizes that too.
It's going to be a big season in Oxford, no doubt about it. He's Michael Katz. Give him a follow on X at Michael L. Katz. Covers Ole Miss Athletics for the Northeast Mississippi Daily Journal. Joining us here on Send It In. Michael, really appreciate the time and the insight. Have a great season. Hope to catch up with you again at some point.
Thanks so much, man. Appreciate you.
Absolutely. Great stuff there. From Michael Katz, we continue our preview of the Ole Miss Rebels here on Send It In. You can see the schedule right there up on your screen. Very easy start to the season for Ole Miss, right? We've done a bunch of these schedule previews where some tough non-conference games for some of these teams, not the case for Ole Miss. They're going to start the season 4-0. Furman, Middle Tennessee, at Wake Forest, Georgia Southern. Then SEC play opens up. They get Kentucky at home, at South Carolina, should win both of those games. And then when they meet up with LSU on October 12th, very good chance the Rebels are undefeated. You heard Michael saying that game's already been announced, that it's going to be a night game at Death Valley. If you know anything about college football, you know that's probably the toughest night venue to play in the entire sport. 100th year anniversary of Death Valley, too. So that'll be extremely tricky. Bye week after that, and then you got a tough little stretch with Oklahoma, sandwich game in between at Arkansas, and then Georgia as well. What I really find interesting about Ole Miss is the fact that their win total this year is at 9.5. The over is minus 120. The under is plus 100. Again, this was a team that won 10 regular season games last year, finished the year 11-2, probably even better on paper heading into this season. The schedule, I mean, pretty much every game on paper they possibly could be favored in outside of the Georgia game. The LSU game might be closer to a coin flip. Could be favored in that game depending on how the first five, six weeks of the season go. I just think it's interesting. It feels like the win total for this team should be 10, maybe even 10.5, juice to the under. The fact that it's at 9.5 and it's only juice to the under or to the over at minus 120, I thought was pretty interesting. Third lowest odds, though, to win the SEC. Georgia, Texas, then it's Ole Miss at plus 650. And then they're tied for fifth with Bama for the fifth shortest odds to win the national title at 15-1. To make the college football playoff, they're minus money. You heard Michael talk about it. This year, the expectations in Oxford are playoff or bust. They're expecting to be in that 12-team playoff with Ole Miss this season. I'm torn on Ole Miss this year for a couple reasons. I can see the case to be made for Ole Miss because last year we had a team in Florida State that really did well in the transfer portal. They had some key returning players. Their quarterback returned in Jordan Travis, just like Ole Miss is with Jackson Dart. They had some key wide receivers returning like Johnny Wilson. Same thing with Ole Miss. And then they had some impact guys in the transfer portal that really took their team over the top and made them go undefeated and a potential playoff team. Obviously, we know what happened at the end of the season. Ole Miss kind of has the same feel as that, right? A lot of returning players. You're coming off a good season. You can see them getting better, added some impact transfers. So that side of it, I can see it. On the flip side, though, it was what I was talking about with Michael. I kind of see Ole Miss as like the SEC version of Penn State out of the Big Ten. It's a team that wins all the games that they're supposed to win, but can't beat any of the big boys. Now, Nick Saban is gone. He's obviously retired, so Kiffin doesn't have to worry about Saban in the Tide anymore. Obviously, don't play him in the regular season, but you do play Georgia this year. That LSU game is going to be a tough one. If Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss beat LSU on October 12th, that's going to be his biggest win since he's been at Ole Miss, which, look, that's a great win, but considering that's probably the best win you've ever had since you've been at Ole Miss, I think that's pretty telling. Ole Miss is priced like a team that kind of has like playoff pedigree that's kind of in the mix every year to win the SEC, and we just like haven't seen that yet from them. So I'm not going to buy into a team with that short a price when they haven't proven that they've made it to the college football playoff, that they've made it to an SEC championship game. I know Bama and Saban have been in the SEC West all those years, so it's really tough, but I can't get there yet with Ole Miss. I see the case to be made, but I'm not going to buy in, so for that reason, I'm staying away from Ole Miss this season. Not betting them win total, SEC, make the college football playoff, not betting Jackson Dart to win the Heisman Trophy as well. I just kind of want to wait and sit back and watch this team. I can see the case to be made for Ole Miss, but I'm going to pass on the Rebels for the upcoming season. All right, let's move to the NFL now. Talk about the Chicago Bears. Now, this is a team I have a strong feeling on. Right away, the market that jumped out to me about the Chicago Bears is the make-miss playoffs market for the Bears, minus 110 each way for the Bears to make the playoffs this season. We know what they did in the offseason. They drafted Caleb Williams, number one overall. They added to the offense. They also drafted Roma Dunze. They picked up Keenan Allen and DeAndre Swift. They added to the defense that already improved drastically when they traded for Montez Sweat in the middle of the season. My thing with the Chicago Bears, there's three things that worry me about the Bears and why I think betting them to miss the playoffs is a good bet at minus 110. The first is the division. The Detroit Lions, I think, are going to be the number one seed in the NFC this year. They also got the Green Bay Packers in their division as well. The chances of the Bears winning their division this year, not very good. So right off the bat, for the Bears to make the playoffs, they're competing for three spots. They're competing for the three wildcard spots. Really off the bat, they're competing for two wildcard spots because you would expect the Lions and the Packers to both be in the playoffs. Well, then the NFC East, you got the Eagles and the Cowboys. You would think both of those teams probably going to make the postseason as well. In the NFC West, you got the Rams, you got the Seahawks, potential teams that can make the playoffs also. I would rather trust a bunch of those teams who have shown that with their current rosters and kind of their nucleuses and their quarterbacks have been to the postseason, rather than taking a chance with a rookie quarterback and a head coach in Matt Eberflus who hasn't had any success since he's been the head coach of the Bears. And that's point number two. We're buying in on the Chicago Bears and all the talent that they have, and we seemingly forget that in the offseason, everybody wanted Chicago to find a new head coach. There were all these coaches available. You could have made a run at Jim Harbaugh. You could have gone after Mike Vrabel. You could have gone after Belichick. if you wanted to. They didn't decide to do any of that. They decided that they wanted to stick with their guy, Matt Eberflus. And the same thing has happened the last couple seasons. The Bears have gotten off to terrible starts. They finished the season really strong. And then we do the same song and dance every single year, where coming into the offseason, because of how the Bears finished the season, we get all excited about their opportunities for the upcoming season. And then the third and final reason, Caleb Williams, I think, is going to be a really good player. The talent is undeniable. My thing is that we have to remember he's a quarterback for the Chicago Bears. He's going to play a lot of important games in November and December in cold weather. This was a guy who played his college ball at Norman, Oklahoma, and Southern Cal out in L.A. It's very warm. It's very lovely in those places. You don't have to deal with a lot of snow. You don't have to deal with a lot of wind. You don't got to deal with a lot of frigid temperatures. I mean, look at the Bears. Look at the end of their schedule, right? Home against the Lions, home against the Seahawks, at the Packers at Lambeau Field. You also got games in November, home against the Packers, home against the Vikings. I mean, these are going to be games where it's going to be cold. You're going to have to deal with the elements. And we don't know what Caleb Williams is necessarily going to look like in those kind of games. We saw him outdoors last year at Notre Dame, and he played his worst game as a college quarterback. Wasn't very good. So the Bears, I'm taking them to miss the playoffs this season at minus 110 because I think their division is too tough. Eberflus hasn't shown that he can be a winning football coach. And Caleb Williams, we haven't seen him in cold weather. We saw Justin Fields play his college ball at Ohio State, so we knew that necessarily wouldn't be a concern for him. I have my question marks about Caleb Williams as well. So when I look at the Chicago Bears, Caleb Williams, obviously a worthy favorite to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. I think there are better bets on the board rather than taking him at plus 140. Wouldn't take Eberflus Coach of the Year. Wouldn't take Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, Offensive Player of the Year. I would probably take the win total under 8.5 wins at plus 140. But the bet that I really like is for the Bears to miss the playoffs at minus 110. All right, let's do a little Shark Tank here as we have the FedEx Cup playoffs coming up in Memphis. Going to bring on my guy, Shawnee Sharp, to figure out what our first offer is. Hopefully, I didn't hurt his feelings too much talking badly about the Bears. Shawnee Sharp, what do we got?
Yeah, PJ, I was only crying for the past 5 minutes, but it's okay. We move on. The first one we got here is one unit on our guy, Scottie Scheffler. Is he just going to win another event here? He's 4-1 to win the St. Jude Championship.
I mean, he probably is. Like, is anybody talking about Scottie this week? Are we just going to do the same song and dance? The 1 week where Scottie didn't perform well was the U.S. Open, and that's the week that everybody loved him, myself included. But it feels like guy just won a gold medal. I mean, he's playing great golf. Nobody's talking about him. Nobody's betting Scottie. I think you got to have some exposure to Scottie this week. I think there's a great chance he wins. Again, incredible ball striker, the best ball striker on tour, extremely accurate with his irons. This course should fit him well. I'm in on Scottie this week. I think you should bet him plus 400.
All right, next up, we got another guy who's been on fire this year. How about two units on Xander Schauffele to shoot 66 or lower in the first round? It's minus 105.
I love both favorites this week. Obviously, both are in really good form. I like Xander in the tournament, but I'm not betting him in the first round. This is a par 70 golf course, so he's got to shoot a 4-under or better. It's just especially two units on this bet. Just a lot can go wrong. Remember, no cuts this week, only 70 golfers in the field. I think there are better bets available, so I'm going to be out on two units for Xander, 66 or better in the first round.
All right, I ask you this question every single tournament, Peach, during Shark Tank. How about a half a unit on an albatross? It's 20-1.
You know what? On a half unit, I think it's a good play. There are only two par fives on this golf course. Both of them are reachable. And you know what? Best players in the world taking a crack at trying to get it as close to the hole. Maybe you'll get lucky. And only a half unit, think it's worth a play. So I think that's a good bet. I'm out. I'm in on that one.
All right, how about another guy who's at the top of the leaderboard? Two units on Colin Morikawa to finish in the top 10. It's at plus 120.
Love this bet. Think Morikawa's going to be in contention this week. He's had such a great season. He's such a good iron player, great ball striker. This course really should fit him well. The one weakness is in his game, as we know, is the putter. And this isn't a very difficult course with like complex greens. Like, he should make putts this week, and if his iron play is Colin Morikawa, like, he should be in contention. So I do like this quite a bit. I'm in two units on Morikawa, top 10.
All right, two more here for you, Peach. How about one unit on a BetMGM special for a top 20 finish, Sung Jae-im and Corey Connors? It's at 3-1.
I'm in. Both guys I really like this week. Sung Jae, we gave it out yesterday. The social team posted it. He's in great form. two top 10 finishes here in his last couple times to Memphis. I think Sungjae's absolutely a play. Corey Connors is another guy that I really, really like. So accurate off the tee, so accurate with his irons. And him and Morikawa are the kind of golfers that I'm looking for this week. You don't have to be great putters. It's extremely important to be great with approach. That's the metric that you look at on this golf course. You want guys that are great approach players. Corey is excellent in that department. So Sungjae, Corey, top 20, plus 300. Love it.
All right, last one here for you, Pete. Let's do a first-round leader, a half unit on Patrick Cantlay at 33-1.
You know, this is a good one, too. I didn't really think I was going to bet a guy for first-round leader, but you told me Patrick Cantlay, and I was like, I can get behind that. Cantlay hasn't played in about 3 weeks since the Open Championship, so that's maybe the one cause of concern. But this time of year, we talk about Victor Hovland. Usually this time of the year warms up. Cantlay's the same way. Usually really good in the FedEx Cup playoffs. So for the first round, I think Cantlay can get off to a hot start. I like the price at 33-1. So I am in on that. Let's go to Model Making Money. Check in with Lucy Burge joining us here on a Wednesday. Get some best bets from Lucy. Before we do that, though, Lucy, what are the five-star plays that BetQL has for us today?
Yes, hello, PJ. Happy Wednesday. Nationals Orioles over 6.5 runs is a BetQL five-star play for today. The Orioles have gone over this total in 8 of their last 10 games, as have the Nationals, and both of these pitchers going tonight have ERAs over 4. DJ Hers is starting for the Nationals. He has an ERA of 4.41. Dean Kramer starting for the Orioles. His ERA 4.70, 5.40 ERA at home. So the BetQL model loves this as a five-star play for tonight. Over 6.5 runs for Nationals Orioles.
Love it. I'll be at the game tonight, Lucy, so I'll be cheering that one on. I like the play as well. I think there are going to be quite a few runs in that game. Lucy, what are your best bets for tonight? What do you like?
Yes, you might see some fireworks tonight, PJ. Some fireworks that I am looking for. Juan Soto, over 1.5 total bases. He has gone over this in 2 of his last 3 games. He went over this by a lot in those games as well. He had 12 and 8 total bases in those games with 5 home runs. So he, five home runs, which is crazy. So he has been hot lately. And against Davis Martin, who is starting for the White Sox tonight, he's batting .333 with a double off of him. So he's gone over on bases against him before. I think he can do it again tonight. Maybe a home run tonight, but at least over 1.5 total bases. And then Lane Thomas, though, to hit a home run. He is very due for a home run. His last one was on June 20th. He's also due for a hit. His last one was August 7th. But I think this is a great spot for him to hit his 9th home run of the season. He will be facing Jameson Taillon starting for the Cubs. And he has 2 home runs against Jameson Taillon in 4 at-bats. And Jameson Taillon just allowed 2 home runs in his last start and has given up 5 home runs over his last 3 starts. So I think Lane Thomas has a good chance to hit a home run tonight. And then another Lucy Longball home run play is Shohei Ohtani. Just a classic Shohei Ohtani to hit a home run. He's got 37 this season, 1 in each of his last 2 games and 4 in his last 8 games. And against Frankie Montas, he has hit 5 home runs and 5 singles. So he's got 10 hits off of him, half of which were home runs. So I really like this spot for Shohei Ohtani to also hit a home run.
Very nice. Lucy, I got to ask you about NL Rookie of the Year, because this race, the odds are just going like crazy. Paul Skeens now is minus 200 at some books. Jackson Merrill's been great the last couple weeks. You think Jackson Merrill's going to win this thing, or would you still ride with Paul Skeens?
I do not think Jackson Merrill should be overlooked here. Plus 130 at BetMGM. He is gaining massive ground here on Paul Skeens. Fred Lynn even said it will be Jackson Merrill by a mile who should win Rookie of the Year. So I can't now go against Fred Lynn. I have to go with Jackson Merrill to win NL Rookie of the Year plus 130, because that's pretty good, those odds, but also he has the Fred Lynn endorsement. So I like Jackson Merrill here.
Very good. Very good. Lucy Burge, make sure you check her out. Bet Slips and Bat Flips coming up 2 p.m. Eastern time with our guy, Jake Kassan, as well. Lucy, always a pleasure. Appreciate the insight, and we'll catch up with you again on Friday.
I will talk to you Friday, PJ. Have fun at the game, and thank you very much.
Thank you, Lucy. I appreciate it. For those people who want to continue to bet but don't have the time to research each individual game, you need to download the BetQL app. It ranks each game on a 1-to-5-star scale based on its unbeatable analysis from spreads and over-unders to player props. Stay up to date and bet confidently with BetQL's help. All right, guys, time to wrap the show with PJ's plays. And if you guys that are listening to the show today, you are in for a treat, because as I told Lucy, I'm going to the Orioles game today. I kid you not, the last 6 Orioles games I have been to, Anthony Santander has hit a home run. So you better believe he's going to be my guy today and going streaking. You better believe we're taking Tony Taters to hit a home run at plus 400. My gift to you because you're listening to the show today, so hopefully we can keep that rolling. In that same game, Dean Kramer's been terrible this season. He's been injured. He's been banged up. Just hasn't been his old self. Nationals had like 15 hits against the Orioles yesterday. We're going to go Dean Kramer over 2.5 earned runs allowed against the Nats. Dog of the day, give me the Cubs at plus 110 against the Guardians. Alex Cobb picked up at the trade deadline by Cleveland, only making his second start of the year, got roughed up in his first start, 4 2/3, 9 hits, 4 earned runs. And Clase, Manuel Clase, the Guardians closer, best closer in baseball, has recorded a save in 4 straight games. He's not going to be available tonight. I'll take the Cubs at plus 110. My best bet, I talked about it, the Bears to miss the playoffs at minus 110. Our golf card for today for the FedEx St. Jude Championship. There she is. Xander, I do like Scotty as well. I like Xander, though, plus 800. Sungjae Im's my guy, too, 33-1. Morikawa and Sungjae, top 10. And then Corey Connors and also Aaron Rye, who's finished 6 of his last 7 events in the top 20, including a win last week at the Wyndham, will take Aaron Rye at plus 110. Once again, our best bets for today, Tony Taters. You've been good to me for the last 6 Orioles games I attended. Let's make it another one. He got a base hit today. Dean Kramer, prop lock, over 2.5 earned runs. Cubs, plus 110. My dog of the day against the Guardians. And then my best bet's going to be the Bears to miss the playoffs at minus 110. Thanks again to Michael Katz, Lucy Burns for joining the show today. We have Tim Fitzgerald on tomorrow to talk Kansas State, and we look at the Detroit Lions. Have a great rest of your day. Let's go, Tony Taters. We'll see you guys tomorrow.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed.
Mm.
Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes, subject to driver availability. More terms apply.